Recording, and here we go. This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got my friend Greg Musselman on the line from Voice of the Martyrs Canada, and we're going to be taking a look at Kazakhstan. An article came out from Forum 18 recently, actually on Tuesday, and VOM Canada has some information as well. I guess a church is having trouble registering, you know, getting a lot of hassle. And Greg, in the North American context, something like a registration delay is kind of foreign. Like it doesn't seem like it would be a big deal. So can you help our listeners understand why it's such a problem for churches in Kazakhstan?
Yeah, you're right. When you know, talk about North America. In fact, I attend a small church that's, you know, just got going over the last year. And, you know, you can meet, you can work with another organization, you know, so that you can, you know, take offerings and donations and issue tax receipts. So in our countries, it's, you know, relatively easy just to start meeting. And, you know, there is a process, of course, to being, you know, registered and, you know, having your own charitable number and all the rest of it. So it's not a big deal for, you know, from our perspective. But if you go to a country like Kazakhstan, which used to be under the former Soviet Union, and even today still, there's that influence that, you know, of communism in that part of, you know, the world there, and many of those former Soviet countries, including Kazakhstan. And because there's this desire to keep Christianity from growing, especially amongst the evangelical churches and beyond the evangelical churches and even into Islam and other groups. But the idea is to force the churches to re-register in many cases, or to register. So what happens, and it's one of those catch-22 kinds of things, you need 50 members, founding members, to be able to register. But often groups don't have that, especially the new churches. And those that are already registered, if they're being pushed to re-register, they'll often, the authorities will try to intimidate those people that are a part of that group so that they won't list their names as members, and founding members at least. And so what happens is that they shut the churches down. And those that don't comply with it, they can be put into detention. There's fines, confiscation of the church property, or even homes of those that go against the rules. So you go back, you know, even a few years to 2011, the government adopted a new, very repressive religion law. And again, this re-registration allows the government really to, in some ways, to shut the churches down without actually saying that. And the reason that they're concerned in Kazakhstan that they don't look like they're going against, you know, religious freedom is because of UN policies, United Nations policies, which promises freedom of religion, which Kazakhstan, you know, is a member of that group. And, you know, so they're saying, no, we're not restricting religion. We're just, you know, making sure that, you know, these groups are registered. But really, they're using this registration to oppress the church and other faith groups.
And on that note, why are they, restricting religion or trying to crack down? Is there any one cause?
Well, I think it still goes into, I mean, the current leader, you know, has been there since the beginning of Kazakhstan when they gained independence in 1991. And, you know, communism and Christianity and religion, you know, government feels that, you know, that religion, and especially Christianity, that is very strong towards, you know, wanting to see people come to Jesus. And so they put these, you know, laws into place where, you know, you can't, was they use the word proselytize. I prefer the word, you know, evangelize, because proselytizing means you're kind of coercing somebody. And evangelism is to share the message of Jesus, and people have the freedom to respond. There's no compulsion in that. But there's this fear within that structure, within that ideology, that Christianity is a threat to, you know, to the way that they do things. And the reality is that, you know, a message of Jesus and God's love and the freedom that we have in Christ goes against, you know, oppressing people. So they see Christianity, especially evangelical Christianity, as a threat. And then there's also the concern of radical Islam or militant Islam, where they want to keep that under wraps. But they kind of throw everything in the same kind of basket and then just try to oppress it.
How does VOM Canada come alongside believers in Central Asia? What do you guys do to help?
Well, when we go into Kazakhstan or any of these countries, and we have to be, you know, can't, you know, be broadcasting it loudly, but, you know, we do work in Central Asia, And we do it in a quieter way, but it's to go in and to, when we can, through our partner, at least, us often not personally, but our contacts within the country or in the surrounding areas, is to go in and to bring encouragement. If we have opportunity to get in there to do teaching, what does the Bible teach about persecution? Again, remind, and many of these, pastors understand that firsthand and know the teachings of Jesus, that when you are trying to advance the gospel, you're going to have opposition. I mean, the Bible's very clear about that. And I think just to encourage them, I mean, we can know scriptures, we can know theology, but often we can feel very isolated and alone. And so it's going in and saying, we're praying for you, we're encouraging you. And, where there are, people imprisoned or those kinds of things, is to make awareness of it so we can pray. And, to put pressure on the government, because again, Kazakhstan is not isolated in the sense that they don't care what anybody thinks. They do care because of the United Nations, and they want to have, aid and things like that, and, be a part of the larger global community. But again, they're trying to do it in a way that they're saying, we're just trying to make sure that we're doing this properly. But really what's happening is they are, oppressing the Christians and other groups. But our role really is to be praying, and when the Lord guides and leads us, to help them in a practical way as well.
You're leading perfectly into my next question, because I was going to ask, as we share this story with people, how would you like them to respond?
Well, I mean, the church that we're particularly identifying this week is the New Life Pentecostal Church in a place called Oskamen, and in Kazakhstan. And I mean, again, the reason that they were just trying to get a new name and to register, and then the police started visiting homes, interrogating them, questioning them, and many cases the authorities arrived at the people's homes late at night and even threatened those who did not appear to cooperate. So the harassment is there. So I think that we really need to be praying that these believers will continue to be strong, that God will give them wisdom. In many of these cases, we have to really say, okay, Lord, which, hill to die on is the one that you're saying for us to do at this time. And, sometimes we just have to, know how to navigate through these situations. So I think the big thing would be to pray that they wouldn't be gripped by fear, and also that they would have wisdom on how to know, how to go forward. And, and of course, believers are meeting in secret, that they would be safe, and they would not shrink back in sharing the amazing message of Jesus, telling people about his love.
All right. That wraps up my questions for now. Was there anything I missed or anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that'll do it.
Awesome.